Edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Edit.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we are delving down into the bowels of Texas, in Houston specifically, hot Houston, where spring lasts for a week. And they only have really like two seasons,
humid and one week of winter.
That's right. And a band, I mean, this is a band that is as synonymous with Texas as I think you could come up with, you know, bands that are like the Eagles are synonymous with California, or the Ramones are synonymous with New York, or Blondie is synonymous with New York, Lou Reed, you know. But I think when you think of Texas,
I wonder where Chicago is synonymous with.
With Boston. or Devo, you know, the Ohio bands, Pretenders and Akron, Ohio, and stuff like that. But the band we're talking about today is the that trio from Houston, ZZ Top.
I had a really good time with this one. I'll be honest with you. I was in hog heaven.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we're going to have some differing opinions. I'm not going to say I didn't enjoy it. But they do... a few things really, really well. And they, for the most part, other than maybe three, four albums in the middle of the 80s and early 90s, they don't veer a lot from that. Nope. But,
and I'll be really honest, it's those three, the trilogy, that I dislike the most.
Really? Yep. Oh, this is going to be great. I love, this is what I love about Soundography, is getting these opinions out. So, ZZ Top, I mean, their main... their core members that everybody knows: Dusty Hill on bass and vocals, Billy Gibbons on guitar and vocals, and Frank Beard.
The clean-shaven Frank Beard.
The clean-shaven Frank Beard. Hey, for a while, he had a beard as well. It wasn't nearly the beard that Billy and Dusty had, but he had one nonetheless.
The story of beard inception is one of my favorite things I discovered during the research of this.
Beard inception?
The beard, the way the beards came into life.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the story. I don't know this story.
Yeah, it's really pretty good.
Are you going to tell it now? Or are you?
No, I'll wait till we get there.
All right. Okay. So main lyricist, songwriter, and arranger is Billy Gibbons, kind of the unofficial band leader. And for the last 45 years, they've pretty much had the same lineup. But that's not, you know, what they always had. They started out with Lanier Grieg and Dan Mitchell on drums, Lanier Grieg on organ, which...
That's a weird combination to think of.
Exactly. Like, you know, when you think of ZZ Top, you think guitar, drums, boom, that's it. But, you know, again, when you think about those albums in the 80s, there were some synthesizers, there were some stuff in there. So they haven't always been a straight guitar, drums kind of band. And that's the way they were when they started. It was Lanier Grieg on organs and Dan Mitchell on drums. The name that they came up with started out potentially as ZZ King. They knew they wanted to be at the very end of the alphabet, I guess to make it easier for people in record stores to find them. Is that
I guess that's,
I've heard that story.
That was the urban legend that kind of went with it. So
yeah. But inspired by names like B.B. King and ZZ Hill, and they almost just flip-flopped those and came up with ZZ King. But nope, they went with ZZ Top. They've always had a very solid blues foundation for their music. Really, really prevalent in the early albums and in the later albums, the more recent albums. Again, not so much. It's funny, we're going to be talking about this ZZ Top 2.0 that occurred in the mid 80s, but it was such a departure from The early stuff, you almost feel like it's a separate band, you know, when you start talking about it.
And boy, did some of those things in the Eliminator, Afterburner, Recycler era get weird.
Yeah, they did. They kind of did. Let's go ahead and start with the origination. So 1969, they released their first single. Side A was Salt Lick. On the other side was Miller's Farm. After the single was released, Dan Mitchell, the drummer, was replaced by Frank Beard, and Billy Etheridge came in and replaced Linear Gregg on keyboards. But Etheridge was unwilling to sign the contract that London Records offered, so they brought in Dusty Hill. The next year, they signed with London Records. Their first concert with the three of them was in Beaumont, Texas, February 10th, 1970. And God, amazing to think about how long they've been around. We've talked about bands before that started in the late 60s. And really, aside from LaGrange and Cheap Sunglasses and stuff like that in the 70s, you think of them as an 80s band. And that was, you know, a good 12, 13 years into their career.
Well, I mean, when you think, let's think about bands that we've talked about that are as old and established as they are. There's Iron Maiden and Rush.
Ramones,
yeah, but they're no longer turning out music.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So still producing music, yeah. and that old, yeah, right. Rush.
Blues Traveler was all newer. Duran, relatively newer. They were 70s, not 60s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's see. Patsy Cline passed away.
Stills and Nash aren't doing anything anymore. Yeah, that's true. This is one of the longer reigning bands, especially with the same lineup. We've talked about that too before. Yeah. The came up a lot with Rush is how the lineup stayed relatively the same the entire time they were together.
There's something magical about that three. Three is a magic number.
I was just noticing the parallels between ZZ Top and Rush. Nobody's probably has ever said, you know, it's amazing how similar ZZ Top and Rush are.
Well, leave it to Soundography to break that ground.
Same lineup with three people for, you know, almost 50 years. And I would argue that, Frank Beard is an extremely talented drummer. Maybe not on the level of a Neil Peart, but if Peart is a 10, I'd say Frank Beard is like an 8.
Yeah. What's great about him is he can do so much with so little. I mean, his drum set is not enormous. He doesn't have a lot of options for noises. Neil has built a career on providing himself millions of different options for millions of different noises. And Mr. Beard has just stuck with pretty much a basic set.
Yeah, totally true. First album was in 1971, the very cleverly titled ZZ Top's first album. And right from the get-go, right from the title of the album, you kind of get a glimpse at as to their sense of humor. That's not an album title that came later, like when they hit it big and they said, well, we got to come up with a name for their first
album.
There's
some cheeky monkeys right from the get going.
That's right. You've got to have some cojones and some real faith in your band to come out with an album and call it ZZ Top's first album. Cause
it might've been ZZ Top's only album.
Exactly. If you don't come out with a follow-up, the joke is all of a sudden on you and you become, you know, you become the butt of the rock and roll's jokes. Big super rhythm and blues. I mean, just straight ahead. What do they call that? 12 bar or 16 bar.
Yeah. 12 bar blues. It was just straight up Texas blues. It was the same stuff Stevie Ray Vaughan was playing. It was the same stuff that, you know, they were doing up in Chicago, except they put this Southern edge on it. It was amazing what this sounded like to me. And it was, like I said, I'm a huge, as much as I love Dream Theater, my roots are in blues and I love this kind of stuff. Like I said, I was in hog heaven for the last 2 weeks,
but it's still a solid album. Like it's not, you know, for being a first album, it's not like they were finding their legs and kind of figuring out where they were. I mean, Somebody Else Been Shaking Your Tree, Brown Sugar.
Change my life.
Going Down to Mexico is really good. It's a really
Certified Blues is also a great song.
Yeah. Yeah. Backdoor Love Affair. It's a really, really good album and a great start. They followed that up with Rio Grande Mud in 1972, which didn't do as well commercially. Some of the bigger songs on there, Just Got Paid, that's kind of one of their greatest hit songs. Francine. Got a girl, her name Francine. Finest thing you ever seen. And I love her. She's all that I want. And I need her. She's all that I need. Barbecue.
This is on my list, but I'll say this, that Sure Got Cold After the Rain Fell is an amazing piece of music. I don't care who you are and what you like, you need to listen to this piece of music.
And it's a long piece of music too. I mean, it's a 7-minute song, but it's a really, really
I liked good it. One. I liked the ZZ Top epic.
Right. Kind of is. Yeah. Especially after a few weeks of nothing but like short 2.5-minute tunes.
The Ramones epic was what, 323?
Something like that. That was their dream theater epic right there. They toured, but they didn't fill a lot of stadiums, a lot of empty seats in there. Again, still starting to get out there and maybe hadn't cemented themselves in a role that extended past their hometown kind of thing. Third album. 1973's Trace Hombres was their first top 10 record, and this is the one that has LaGrange. Yep. Ha 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 ha, which is a cover, right? John Lee Hooker did the original version of that, and but you only ever hear the ZZ Top version.
Yes, it's the only one you can line dance to.
Do people line dance to LaGrange?
Look, I worked in a dance club in college. People can line dance to anything.
Yeah. Just feels like they shouldn't touch the classics like that. Save it for the achy breakies and the
boot scootins.
Exactly. But come on, leave LaGrange out of this business. But that's about a brothel in LaGrange, Texas.
So I found a version of this that was a cover of it done by the Angels, and all the guitar solos were replaced with harmonica solos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I know that's like right up your alley too. Jeez.
Yep.
Very good. They followed that up with Fandango, which is a live album.
Sales company.
That's right. You could buy this album and also pick up a ticket to go see Suicide Squad. It was really good. It was quite a deal. This was basically, you know, once you come up with an album that's got some hits on it, then you can follow it up with a live album. Half of it, anyway, was a live album. Side one was a live album, and then side two were studio cuts.
Mm-hmm. And Tush came from this.
That's right. So another one of their classics. I'm just, you know, looking for some tush, as well as Balinese and Heard It on the X, a couple other of their, I wouldn't say singles, but some of their better songs. And that's probably the way to do it, right? Especially if it's your fourth album. You've only got three albums worth of material. And if you wanted to do an entire live album, you better have some solid cuts on there kind of peppered throughout so people don't say, yeah, it's a, you know, it's a live album, but you really only need to listen to the first three songs.
They're playing to half-filled studio theater, so you get the point.
Right, right, exactly. 1976 saw the release of Tejas. Not as well received, again, by by sales, commercial sales, but a continuation of the same sound, the same feeling. I mean,
this is the one with the Jailhouse Rock on it, or no?
Let's see here. No,
no, I'm sorry. No, Jailhouse Rock was Fandango.
Right. This one, I mean, I'm looking through the song list and I'm not remembering a lot. I mean, I know I listened to the album, but It's Only Love, Arrested for Driving While Blind, Diablo.
See, I love Asleep in the Desert and I almost picked it, but it's hard for us when we like instrumentals because it's hard to sum up an instrumental in the kind of clips we do.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, that's right. It was an instrumental. Yeah, I forgot about that one. All right. Well, we'll continue past.
So this is where the beards come in.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Let's get to the story.
So after the tour, they were set to take about a 90-day work break. Mm-hmm. Gibbons went to Europe. Beard went to Jamaica. And Hill went to Mexico.
Okay.
The break extended 2 years, and when they reconvened, Hill and Gibbons came back with chest-length beards.
Really?
Yes.
So, unplanned, undiscussed, like,
I don't, hey, what do you say? I don't know if they called each other and said, hey, man, I got an idea.
How long's yours getting? Oh, I need to compete.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the theory behind it, but can you imagine being their manager or producer? And they stroll in after what was supposed to be a 90-day break and turned into 2 years off. And they come back looking like, you know, Grizzly Adams' children.
Beard, we neglected
to mention, but for a while, Frank Beard had a, like, Tom Selleck majestic mustache on.
Right, that's right. But no beard.
No beard, but he was rocking the brawny stash.
He totally was. That's a great way to describe it. That's funny, but that look became such a signature. Like, that's something that, all you have to do is get a piece of paper, draw three heads and put beards on two of them. People say, oh, ZZ Top.
Yeah.
That's easy.
That's the Pictionary way to win.
That's right. Exactly. Hopefully you get that when you've got to get your team to say ZZ Top. The next album, Degüello. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
Is it Degüello?
Well, Degüello. It depends on where you're from. It's Degüello or Degüello if you're from Argentina.
Oh, well.
There's a double L or J instead of
Y. Do the J sound? Yeah. Okay, well, probably not that one. This is a good, solid album. Maybe it was like the magic was in their beards. But this is the one that had cheap sunglasses. And try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses. And I Thank You, a cover of the song by Isaac Hayes, and I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide. It's a really, really good, solid album.
I played in a band that used to play A Fool for Your Stockings.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Now you're coming back for more, but that's all right. I said that's all right.
I may not want to admit it. I'm just a fool for your stockings. We also used to do Jesus of Chicago.
Oh, really? Okay, so play a couple from the ZZ Top catalog.
Yep.
That's great. They also at this point signed with Warner Brothers, and this album went platinum. It got up to number 24 on the charts, and also gave them their first trip to Europe to perform on German TV on a show called Rockoplast. Would you like to touch my monkey?
So we've talked about how Billy Gibbons is such a great just rhythm guitar player.
Yes.
But he's an awesome slide guitar player, too.
Yeah.
And this is where it kind of I noticed it was that he pulled out that slide and he would kill it on a slide. I'm on the ride, I'll never
Yeah, really, really good. And they were starting to kind of define their sound. I mean, it was always kind of a bluesy thing, but then you started hearing, all right, the, you know, Cheap Sunglasses and Thank You, and there was a starting to become a, like a regular noticeable, all right, I can hear a song and say, oh, that's ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Kind of a sound to them. Yep. The next album, El Loco.
That means the loco.
The crazy. Yeah, I guess. And a couple singles from this one, Tube Snake Boogie.
Okay. Before you read anymore, I want to say that how on earth did these songs not only get radio play? How did a song called Pearl Necklace get to be a hit?
Right. Right. Well, this is what, 1979? Oh no, this was 1981.
Yeah.
But it was still, I don't think the term Pearl Necklace was as widely known as being a sexual double entendre as it is now. Now it's like, oh yeah, totally. It's like the
almost everything on this album is though.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Tube Snake Boogie. It's like, wow, wonder, I guess that must be a variety of snake they have in Texas.
What kind of hot dog place is this?
10-foot pole. Was that something?
Yeah. I mean, how naive were people?
Well, these are the same people who didn't realize that Freddie Mercury was homosexual until the late 80s.
No.
Right.
So yeah.
It was an innocent time. Those early 80s, Hammond, come on. We can look back now and say, how did we not see this before? But
yeah,
I mean, this is the album that their previous, or the band whose previous album had a song called Tush.
Yes. Yeah. Boy, can you imagine playing a medley of that?
Tush,
Tube Snake Boogie, and Pearl Necklace.
I probably there probably are bands that have done that, but it's maybe, and it certainly could have been a thing that maybe they were trying to do, is go down the road of being like, a all right, our gimmick is going to be that we've got nothing but double entendres in our songs, and they were doing that for quite a while. Even if it wasn't in the title of the song.
Yes, very much. Yeah. So
it, but just, yeah, I think
I was a little bit floored by just how much was on this album in one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they spilled all their candy in the lobby on this album.
Yeah.
So to speak. Yeah. Let's see. So they followed that one up with kind of the 2.0, ZZ Top 2.0 sound. And that is Eliminator, which was as much about the music as I think about the videos and their huge splash on MTV. Everybody knew that Eliminator vehicle, you know, could recognize it. I had the ZZ Top keychain, just like they had in the music in the video.
Aww.
That logo, the ZZ, and had my keys on there for my Toyota Corolla.
Okay, so did it stab you in the leg? Because it was big. So every time you sat down, sharp. Did it stab you in the leg?
It did. It was big and sharp. I couldn't. I had a hard time keeping my front pocket. I had a hard time keeping it in my pants, which sounds like the title of a ZZ Top song. This is the album that gave us Give Me All Your Lovin', Sharp Dressed Man, Legs, TV Dinners.
This is where most people start with ZZ Top.
Yes.
As much as I have not much fondness for this album, this is where 90% of people start with ZZ Top.
Oh, totally. Totally. And there's also the beginning of this hi-hat drum sound that they'd have for the next three albums.
Yep.
They like have that in the background. And there's a couple songs. I think on Recycler, or maybe it's Afterburner. Oh, it is. It's an Afterburner. It's in Sleeping Bag,
yep,
where that's the only thing you hear for a bunch of, for a good portion of the song. That.
So this trilogy of albums is, yes, is my least favorite period of time for them. And I think it's because they drifted away from the blues and got more toward a synthesizer sounding pop kind of sensibility.
Right. This,
very little blues on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And this is where they...
However, they were able to buy cars and houses and become financially successful because of it. So who am I to complain?
They're certainly not complaining. The... they start introducing kind of the stuff that you heard in from Yes around the 90125 era with that ring, you know,
that isn't that strange. We've taken now and compared them to Yes and
Rush.
And Rush.
Wow, this is, it's blowing people's minds, the parallels that we're drawing here.
But you're not wrong. They, it was like they found a bunch of new toys and said, "Ooh, let's try all of them all the time."
Right. Right. And they, yeah, I mean, they did. They introduced that stuff on Eliminator. They continued it on Afterburner. They kind of continued it on Recycler, but I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think that's where it starts to get a little mundane. Oh. Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, what else? So what else you got, ZZ?
So the video for Rough Boy. Have you, did you remember this
remind
one?
Remind me. It's the Space Shuttle Eliminator car,
and
right?
They have like... just drum hands and like thigh-high clad legs just walking around disembodied, and it's very weird.
Huh. I'm going to have to watch that after we're done here because I'd forgotten.
It's a very, very, very weird video.
Really?
Yes. And talk about, in most of them, let's put it this way, there's a lot of objectivity going on, objectifying,
sure,
objectifying people going on.
Yeah.
This one takes it to another kind of disturbing level.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And I remember being in, I guess I was in junior high when this came out, and I remember thinking, wow, that's odd. And I didn't realize just how odd it was until I was watching it this last week in preparation for the show, thinking, wow, okay.
They got away with this.
Yeah. Well, see, I saw them live in Honolulu when I was in high school, and it was, Stevie Ray Vaughan opened, mm-hmm, Run DMC played the middle ticket, and they closed it out.
Wow. Run DMC seems like an interesting...
It was a very interesting...
meat to put in the middle of that sandwich.
Yeah, it was a very interesting... I don't know how exactly it worked out, but I somewhere still probably have a ticket from that show.
Huh.
It was a very interesting bill, but it was there.
That's very interesting. I've got the music video for Rough Boy in the background here as I'm watching this. Like, it's going through a car wash, a space car wash. Oh, and then there's the disembodied hands. I remember that this was like, check out all the special effects that we can do.
Yeah.
But that was the whole thing too, right? It wasn't just the beards, but it was that whole like... gesturing and pointing, the whole spin arm point thing that they did for a while.
Which is the only reason I recognize them in Back to the Future 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, the beards, though.
Oh, I know, that's what I'm saying. The beards and the spinning is that those kind of like, yeah. Oh, hey, that's ZZ Top.
That's funny. Oh, yeah, now I'm seeing the disembodied legs walking around. It's funny. It's like, this is a total like special effects... total special effects, like, check out all the things we can do with special effects where we make it look like these hands and arms and legs are coming out of floating platforms.
It's still really, really weird.
It is really weird. I'm not going to say I don't like it, but it is really, really weird. It is. If this was a cartoon, I'd feel like I'm watching heavy metal.
Yes.
One of the heavy metal movies.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Because it totally fits in that thing. And then the disembodied, like, mounted ZZ Top heads on frames.
I know, it's like All right. Country Bear Jamboree.
Kind of is. Yeah, right. The Enchanted ZZ Room. Anyway.
At the Chicken Ranch.
Yes, right, exactly. So let's talk about, so that one came out on Afterburner, which was 1985. And I think of all the, certainly of the three, the Recycler, Afterburner, Eliminator trilogy, I think this is my favorite of the three. This actually might be my favorite album of theirs. I know it's in your dark period.
It is. Top. It's, I had a hard time with this period of time. I had a hard time when it was happening, and I had an even harder time listening to it now.
Right. For me, this is, I totally 100% get that this is not the sound that permeated through much of ZZ Top's library, right? They were a blues band. They've always been a blues band. This is like, you put so much polish and gimmickry and bells and whistles on top of their blues that you just don't hear the blues anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the rhythm guitar stayed relatively the same, so you could identify it as ZZ Top. The voice stays the same. The humor stayed the same. But there was something about the way it felt, like the soul of it kind of shifted. And again, I can't knock them. They were making money hand over fist.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was young and felt that way, and I just discovered them, you know, through Jesus Loves Chicago and the blues side of it. So when I heard this, I felt a little, I don't want to say betrayed, but it was weird. Mm-hmm. And then when I went back to it later, I was thrilled when I found out they kind of returned to their roots.
Yeah. It's a very stark contrast, especially when you're listening, like we do for the show, listening to their catalog from back to front. You get to Eliminator and it feels like, oh, I guess we're done with ZZ Top and we're listening to, you know, something completely different. MTZZ Top.
Yeah. Well, and also when you have Paula Abdul choreograph one of your videos, you've kind of gone to the other end of the spectrum.
Right. Right. You don't see her doing that for Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble or
Pantera.
Exactly.
So she directed the video or the choreography for Velcro Fly, which again, had them. They're not as convenient as you'd think.
No. You don't have to worry about getting anything caught in them. But if you're wearing tighter pants and you bend over, that thing will rip right open because that's a stress point.
Yep.
Right
there.
Sleeping bag, another one. But come on, I mean, you know, we were talking about their suggestive titles. Woke Up With Wood is track number three on this album.
Stop Rocking, The Planet of Women. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is like a Mad Lib filling.
It kind of is.
It's like jokes.
Or a copy of Maxim magazine is what it is. They followed that one up with Recycler, which was the last album as part of their contract with Warner Brothers. And this one, again, continued the same sound that they'd had on Afterburner and Eliminator. But like I said, I think at this point people are saying, yeah, all right, we've heard you do this. And what else you got, kind of thing.
Yeah. Double Back and 2000 Blues were the tracks that kind of hit it for me on this one, but everything else is kind of meh.
And Double Back, I feel like, was kind of tacked on because it was It was done for the soundtrack to the Back to the Future 3. And I think they just said, we need to put this on an album, or maybe we need to put this on an album and build an album around it or something. But yeah, for me, it is the highlight. Give It Up is pretty good. My head's in Mississippi and my heart's in Texas or whatever it is. Right. That one's good too. But again, it does feel like, all right, more of the same. Yeah.
Yep. So the next album.
But it's a big gap. 5 years between Afterburner and Recycler, when it had just been 2 years between Eliminator and Afterburner.
Well, I think it was because they're too busy digging out from the giant piles of money.
Right. I want to work on the album, but I'm house shopping for my fourth house. And
because those two albums, Eliminator and Afterburner, were enormous. They were ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Around on radio and MTV, and you couldn't go anywhere without hearing LaGrange all of a sudden pop up out of nowhere that no one would have known if it hadn't been for those other two albums.
Totally true. Yep. Very true. So 4 years later, they kind of went back to their roots. They signed a $35 million deal with RCA and released the album Antenna. And this one slides back into the sound that they started with, back to more of a bluesy sound, R&B, keeping the other things that kind of make them unique, right? The double entendres, the humor, the coy humor in their lyrics and in their songwriting.
This album, though, kind of passed me right by, even listening this time, because I don't really have a lot of notes on it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the song list. Pincushion, Breakaway, World of Swirl. Breakaway I really enjoyed, as we'll hear later on in the show. But yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of this. Girl in a T-shirt was pretty good. That was almost a pick for me from this album. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of them refining their footing after the Eliminator trilogy.
It's the rebound album.
Kind of is. It's like, all right, guys, we need to get back to what made us great, or what you know, where we started, and let's ditch the sounds that they had all over the last three albums. Follow that with the album Rhythmine.
I love this album.
This is a really good album. Yeah, again, if Antenna was easing their way back into the blues, Rhythmine is both feet firmly planted in it. And the title track is great. She's Just Killing Me is really good. Vincent Price Blues.
Yeah.
Well, it's a rocking time on the borderline between sundown and up. There's an off-the-wall cantina band just waiting to tear you up.
So they hired a guy named James Harmon to play harmonica on this album, and he's an awesome player. So much so that I'm going to be tracking him down, I think, for other things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. That's really cool. They have a song on here co-written, I believe, with Stevie Wonder, My Mind Is Gone. Or does it incorporate something else that Stevie Wonder wrote? I'm looking at the notes here. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
My Mind Is Gone, co-written, there you go. G.L. Moon, Joe Hardy, Billy Gibbons, and Stevie Wonder. But it is a really good album, good solid stuff. And a couple of years after that, Triple X, which is another one of those kind of combo.
Yeah, I think they're really smart doing this, where they throw in some live things with some new studio things. I think it's a really good move.
I think so, too. And this one was good. Poke Chop Sandwich, Crucifix a Flat.
When it's all blown out, there ain't no doubt. Can't understand what it's all about. Hey! Oh! If you break down, Crucifix a Flat. Gonna get you around this town. That's where you wanna be.
Which is which is one of the greatest. It's like a trivia team name. 36-22-36, made into a movie, which I really enjoyed.
That was a combination, right?
What's that? 36-22-36. I'm sure that's exactly what it was. Yes. But it, you know, I mean, basically from Antenna forward, they're back into the blues, and this is another one that is continuing that feel, but still producing enough new hooks in the songs that it doesn't just feel like the D, G, A chord progression, you know, the 12-bar boogie like we were talking about earlier.
That's the best part about what they've done is they've taken it, and although it all kind of sounds like it's from the same place, consistently from the same place, except for the trilogy, even those sound like they're from the same family. They're just, you know, the pretty children, not the dusty kids from Texas.
Right.
But they've taken all those things you've kind of grown to know, and then they always put new spins on it. So there's enough variation that if you do listen from back to front like we did, you don't want to pull your hair out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. All right, next album was Mescalero in 2003. Still continuing with their time with RCA, and I wonder if RCA was kind of pressuring to say, you know, maybe pull some of that stuff back that you guys did in Eliminator and Afterburner, and maybe could you do that a little bit? Because they've got, you know, some synths. They actually had some synths in Triple X, but this is a much more straight ahead guitar track. Guitar based album than even Antenna and Rhythmine. I mean, it's more of a roadhouse kind of feel to them, you know, like a raw, garagey kind of sound to
them.
This
sounds like it was the three of them in the same room through most of the recording process.
Yeah, right. Which is probably something that they hadn't been doing for a while.
I don't know if they could have on the trilogy.
Mm-hmm. A cover on here, As Time Goes By, which little hidden track.
Again, those killer hidden tracks.
Yep, exactly. And then you've got What Would You Do, Tramp, another cover, and Crunchy on there.
Ate my food and you drank my beer. You took my money, kept asking for more. Then you disappeared, didn't close the door, babe. What's up?
Definitely keeping their ardent fans happy with something like this, delivering something that is, hey, this is a fan record. This is what you guys have been listening to us produce for years, and solid feel for it. And this is kind of like their. Certainly not seeing the same heights that they did with the 80s stuff, but probably their second peak, makes sense. Because right around the time of the album before, they were part of one of the Super Bowl halftime shows. During the Mescalero time, Chrome Smoked Barbecue released a compilation of their B-sides and rarities and stuff, but two or three new tracks on there as well. And they were finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones doing the induction speech.
Speaking of the Rolling Stones, I would love to hear these guys do a cover of Shelter Me by the Stones.
You mean Give Me Shelter?
Yeah, Give Me Shelter. Yeah.
Yep. That would be good. Oh, yeah. I could totally hear that. That'd be really, really slick. And then getting to, they had another live album, Live from Texas. And then their most recent release, studio release, La Futura.
Yeah. And so Apple Music has this down as 2013, but everywhere else says it's 2012.
Yeah, I thought I saw 2012 everywhere else too. So we're going to say 2012, September 11th, 2012, it was released. And really, really good. I had a great time with this. They had a great tune on there, Threshold of a Breakdown. And I Gots to Get Paid.
Which is the second song in their catalog that talks about getting paid.
25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir. You know I got to get paid. A 25 lighters on my dresser.
Right, yes, yeah.
Sir. And the need, and the immediate well, need
the
thereof.
Other one was just got paid. This is like the before I got to get paid.
It's the
and then
prequel.
The other one is to, in the prequel to Just Got Paid, yes. Rick Rubin produced this. And it's a great most recent album, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
really strong.
I think this one's more accessible than if you're a fan of the stuff from the 80s and that's kind of all you're into. This one incorporates enough of that flash to where it's still a blues album, but doesn't feel like you're just going to hear this in a bar where Patrick Swayze's beating up people out front.
Well, you could.
You could, but it's but it doesn't feel just like only like that.
No,
like
these guys are
Roadhouse.
These guys are tough enough that they'd actually not have the cage in front of them.
They wouldn't need, that's right.
They don't need no stinking fence.
They'd catch those beer bottles and huck them right back in the crowd. Chartreuse on this album, which doesn't sound like a title that you'd ever hear ZZ Top. This is our next song, Chartreuse.
But it's a good song.
It is a really good song, as is Flying High and Heartache in Blue. This is a good good album.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. And it was a nice return to form with still kind of improving on the sound and evolving a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you were going to have, if you had all of the albums in a stack, where would you, who, what one would you give to someone first?
Oh, that's a good question. Geez, it'd be really easy to give them Eliminator and say, this one is going to get you into the band, but don't grow too accustomed to this sound.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I would start, you know what, I probably would start with Antenna, because Antenna was a nice bridge between the straightforward blues stuff and the polish of the Eliminator trilogy. And I think I would do Rhythmine.
Rhythmine would be a good place to start. I would probably give them Tres Hombres.
Oh, really? So go earlier.
Yeah, because that you've got Waiting for the Bus, Jesus Says Les Chicago, Beer Drinkers LaGrange. And Hellraisers, LaGrange. You've got a lot of good things on there. Then you could move them into Eliminator and go, okay, so now you've had both flavors of ZZ Top.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, I guess you'd want to start with one of the bluesier albums, but you'd go pre.
Yeah, I'd go pre-80s, and Rhythmine's a great answer. I'm not knocking your answer at all, but I have a real strong spot in my heart for Tres Hombres.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Very good. So we mentioned Back to the Future 3. They appear in the town square in front of the clock tower during the celebration festivities, and they even have their signature spinning guitar thing where the guitar is attached to their belt buckle and they, they spin it around. They do a very stripped down, time period appropriate version of Double Back, in the movie. And of course the song ends up on the soundtrack. They also made an appearance in 2.5 Men. I didn't know this.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had to, when I was doing research, I found that I didn't know even what their topic was. It
should be 2.5 beards is what the King of the Hill.
Of course.
Of course. They kind of fit right in with that. Well, you should tell this because you knew this without even doing any research.
So I knew that they had done an appearance on WWE Raw, but I also know that Kid Rock covered Leg for Stacey Keibler's entrance music when she was working for the WWE, and sadly I had to do no research for that. I just knew that.
That's they also do the soundtrack to the theme, or they do the theme for the show Duck Dynasty, which again seems as appropriate as the whole King of the Hill thing. And Billy Gibbons is the father of Angela Montenegro on the TV show Bones. Had no idea about this. That's funny. What's it, Angela Montenegro?
Yeah.
I just want to take a look and see what she looks like and just see if she, I don't know if I'm wondering if she's got a giant beard or something, but well, the character is named Angela Montenegro. Actually, her full name is Angela Pearly Gates Montenegro Hodgkins.
Hmm.
The actress is Michaela Conlon.
Is that the lead actress?
No, lead. You mean Bones?
Yeah. Well, I've never watched Bones.
I've never watched Bones.
I know
either.
Angel's in it, and that's it.
Yeah, he's the lead character, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know her, but apparently Angela Montenegro is the character. Is he the father of the character?
Yeah.
Or the? Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the TV show,
he plays her dad.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, now that makes sense. But he plays Billy Gibbons in the show, right?
Are you looking at IMDb? Because I'm not.
I am.
I just pulled this off of Wikipedia, so don't, you know.
Okay, here we go. Angela Montenegro is the daughter of a fictional representation of Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. So Billy Gibbons plays himself.
Fictionally.
She plays, fictionally. She plays his fictional daughter. Now I totally get this. And I'm never, ever going to watch Bones.
So ZZ Top by the numbers. Eliminator is their best-selling album. Came out in 83, and it sold more than 10 million copies in the U.S. Okay. So they've sold 25 million records total sold, placed them in the top 100 selling artists in the U.S. They have 11 gold records, 7 platinum, 3 multi-platinum as of 2016. They've sold total 50 million albums worldwide, and they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004.
Wow. Cool. By Keith Richards.
Yep.
Oh, who did they, by the way, I think we skipped over the note, they inducted Cream in 1993. They inducted Cream into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Which, that's awesome, to be honest.
It is awesome, but boy, Cream, I guess Cream is, you know, they're a blues.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. This is Eric Clapton. Yeah, okay. I get that.
Cream is.
I think of Strange Brew and more of like a psychedelic acid rock thing, but that was.
Yeah, and there is an aspect to it, but even then, even like White Room is still basically a 12 bar. They've just kind of changed the tempo up on.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Good point. All right. Their Stairway to Heaven songs. Again, what when you go see them in concert, what song do you better hear?
All right. So the list that we've kind of come up with, we've got LaGrange, Legs, Sharp Dressed Man, Toops Nate Boogie, Tush, and Give Me All Your Lovin'.
Mm-hmm. And I say, Give Me All Your Lovin' is there.
I say Legs.
All right, let's see what it is. I've got set list open, and we're both wrong. LaGrange is their number one. Played song.
Did have it on the list.
Yes, did have it on the list. So, 1,141 times performed in concert, followed by Tush, Jesus Just Left Chicago, Waiting for the Bus, Sharp Dressed Man, and then you get to Give Me All Your Lovin' and Legs, number 6 and 7 on the list.
Well, at least I guessed that they were on the list. We didn't get it right, but at least I'm not so far off.
No, for sure. Yes. All great songs. I mean, you know, if you go to a ZZ Top concert and they play these first 20 songs, you're in business. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. And actually I remember when I saw them, one of the things they played was Cheap Sunglasses. And I was mesmerized by that song when they played it live.
Right. Oh yeah. That's such a the keyboard.
That's Frankenstein.
No.
I know. I'm just kidding.
That's very similar. It is very similar to Frankenstein. anyway. had to prove that I know the difference between Cheap Sunglasses and Frankenstein. Speaking of music, and none of which songs I'm going to be singing on the show. Let's go ahead and talk about our set list. So go out and get the greatest hits, right? Go and get...
Which one? There's a lot of greatest hits.
Oh, easily for me.
There's one that came out in like 96, I think, is their best greatest hits.
No, I would say go to a couple of years ago, The Very Baddest.
Oh, okay.
ZZ Top. There's The Baddest and there's The Very Baddest. The Very Baddest is a double disc set, and it's got... The second one has got that cover of As Time Goes By.
Okay.
Rhythmine, Blue Jean Blues, My Head's in Mississippi, Double Back. I mean, it's a...
So what I did was I went out and bought the 10 disc set.
Yes, you did.
Of the 1970 through 1990. So that's what I bought.
And you have almost all of these songs.
Yes.
That I'm going to be talking about. From DeGuero, I picked the song Manic Mechanic.
And the price I can't resist.
So glad you picked this one. This is such a weird song.
It is a weird song, and it doesn't feel like a ZZ Top song. And I think that's what made it jump out at me is the fact that it's so different.
I was listening in the car, and I actually checked my phone to make sure I was still on ZZ Top stuff.
it's really good. It's a great edgy song, Manic Mechanic from DeGuero. I think the next album, El Loco's Groovy Little Hippie Pad. Another fun one. It's certainly closer to their typical sound, but it's got a nice hook in it. It was the standout track for me on that album. I'm gonna go with the greatest hit for this one. Sorry, gotta do it. It's a Rough Boy from Afterburner. Got a weird video, which I've just discovered, and I might have to watch the rest of it later. But it's, you know, it's some great Billy Gibbons vocals. It's a slow ballady thing, and who knows how many proms this thing was played at. But it feels like it was written for prom.
You know what bothers me about this song?
What's
the drum sound of this song drives me nuts. It's a very processed. Really? Very echo-ish. Artificial drum sound, and I have a really hard time with the drum sound on this one.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to have to listen for that again because that didn't stand out to me. Breakaway, which I mentioned earlier, from Antenna. About the best thing from Antenna because, yeah, I'm looking at my notes for Antenna. There's very little.
It's a chemical attraction. I just can't slide by.
Information about it, but Breakaway did seem to stand out for me. And finally, Made Into a Movie. This one is from the Triple X album. It feels like almost Pink Floydish, something between Learning to Fly and Welcome to the Machine. Not Welcome to the Machine. Shine On You Crazy Diamond.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, exactly. Wow.
Totally feels like Shine On You Crazy Diamond, like ZZ Top channeling Syd Barrett.
Who would believe a
after such a long time. I found her again.
Not Sid Vicious.
Not, certainly not Sid Vicious. what do you got, Hammond?
All right. You might notice a trend. I don't know.
Okay.
My first one is Jesus Just Left Chicago. When I first heard the song, I loved it, and I still do. Somewhere on SoundCloud is a version of it with me playing with a band. I'm doing the harmonica
really?
Stuff on
oh,
it.
Oh, I've got to hear that.
And if not for New Orleans, well, now Jesus just left Chicago.
Gotta hear that.
Next one I picked was Mushmouth Shoutin'.
Okay.
Billy Gibbons is playing the harmonica on that one. Nice. And it's just a good blues song. And for it being relatively early in their career, I was surprised at how it held up.
You know that while about you, baby.
Because it didn't lose anything with its age.
Mm-hmm.
I picked What's Up With That from Rhythmine.
Cool. Good choice.
Great song. Good straight ahead rock and blues song. Good rhythm guitars. I love the lyrics. I like the way it uses the phraseology of What's Up With That to help punctuate the rhythm of the song.
I feel like I wish, you know, this was involved Kenan Thompson from SNL.
What's up with that?
What up with that? Anyway.
Yeah. The next one is Waiting for the Bus from Tres Hombres. Another just a classic ZZ Top song that has its roots and feet squarely placed in Texas blues.
Totally, yeah. You're definitely see a theme here. I mean, see a genre. I'm not seeing anything, man, from Eliminator, Afterburner, Recycler.
Nope. then I picked Sure Got Cold After the Rain Fell from Rio Grande Mud.
Good one.
Rain fell this morning, make me feel so bad, on account of my baby.
I would feel very, very remiss if I didn't put that on there, because it's got such a different sound. Like a it's not a typical ZZ Top song. If you're expecting to hear chugging rhythm guitars, you're not going to.
Yeah.
It was a toss-up between that one and A Fool for Your Stockings, but I went with this one instead.
Okay.
And then I went for a bonus one, which is Heartache in Blue from La Future.
Yes, oh man, I don't
Also very good.
So those are our 11 songs.
We'll assemble those into a playlist for you, so you can enjoy those.
I do like the way we did kind of really stay away from greatest hits this time.
We did. Yeah. I mean, I've got Rough Boy on there. You've got Jesus Just Left Chicago. Both, they're both on there on the first disc of the Very Baddest. But keep in mind, I mean, Very Baddest is a 40 track album. So there's going to be, some overlap and stuff, but I think that's good. And I think actually, if you combine our two playlists, you get a really good, cross section of their staunch straight ahead blues stuff. And then their more accessible slidey in kind of blues stuff, right?
Yeah, kind of the poppy blues with the dirty blues.
Blues plus.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, that is going to do it for another edition of Soundography. Coming up next week, we're going to go more alternative, I think. Pop, power pop, I think, is probably where this one slides straight in. John Auer and the Posies. So focusing on the Posies, but kind of following the solo career as well and producing career of John Auer. That's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, they're kind of like proto grunge because they were brought up in that movie Hype by
they
Douglas
totally
Prey.
Were. So they totally were, and it's funny because I would argue that their first couple albums are definitely not grunge, but maybe I'll change my mind on a new listening.
Yeah, I'm not saying they are grunge-y. I'm saying that they were part of that. Maybe you're the fringe of
that
grunge.
Time period.
Yeah, that
sure.
Time period is when they kind of hit.
Sure. And I think there are some grunge influences, especially, again, when you look at Frosting on the Beater, I think is definitely a grunge inspired album.
Yeah.
No argument whatsoever. Yeah. But let's not talk about it now.
No.
Let's wait
that's,
1 week.
That's a teaser in the business.
That's a big teaser right there. We're going to talk about that more next week. If you want to get in touch with us, email us soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @thesoundography. Of course, everything else right there at soundography.com. You can listen to previous episodes of the show, help support us by leaving your feedback there and also buying the songs we link to from our show notes for each band that we cover. You can also see our playlist. It takes you right to a Spotify playlist that has all 11 in this case of our songs from our playlists, and of course get to pick up the greatest hits album that we recommend as well. Support us financially, you know you want to, by following us on Patreon. Throw us a couple bucks if you like what you're hearing on Soundography. We kickstarted the first season, but we're not kickstarting any previous seasons because we want to get your support as we do the show. If you enjoy what you're hearing, consider throwing us a buck or two per month over there at patreon.com. And also, leave us reviews. Let us know what you think of the show. You can review us on iTunes. You can review us by leaving notes about our shows on the show notes at our website there at soundography.com. Until next week, and John Auer and the Posies, this is Brian Abbott saying thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Hemant Chamberlain, have a great time. Have a great time. Take luck. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.